The following episode contains discussion of sensitive subject matter, including suicide. Our discussion may be triggering to some, so listener discretion is advised. If you or someone you know is in crisis, call 988, the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. The Lifeline provides 24/7 free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources and best practices for professionals in the United States. You can also visit 988lifeline.org. That's 988lifeline.org for resources and more information. We love you, WAFAM, and you matter. No, really, what are friends for? Friends are for the entire season of What Are Friends For, are for coming through in a pinch, like the entire fucking season. I am Gabrielle Ruiz.
And I'm Gabrielle's best friend, Pallavi Sastry. We both really pivoted a lot this year. I'm really proud of us.
I am really proud of us. I'm also very, like I said, like it's, as much as I am proud of myself, there's no sense of pride without the support that I got from you, my best friend, Pallavi, from our friends that are doing this huge favors on coming on the podcast for us, as well as recommending people. And then ultimately, the end all be all, our team, our volunteers, mm-hmm. our staff, shout out, our producers. It has been a, are we gonna make it season? And we have, we are here. We have a season finale for you with this episode that we are so excited about.
And tis the season.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hey, friends, go on and flex.
I mean, whenever this is releasing, it might be out already.
I know. That's why I want you to say it.
I have released, I guess, by the time this comes out, my Christmas song. Like, I am releasing a Christmas solo this year. It is a long labor of love, mostly because, of course, when you say I want to do something, it feels like decades, like you actually do it. It deals with something that I was really, really passionate and vulnerable about on our season this year. It was about our spiritual journey with making and losing friends in our church. And some of those people that I have kept in touch with or not kept in touch with, like this was an idea that was sparked years ago, and it's fulfilling this time this year, during this year when the huge fallout happened. It's a very peaceful way to end that part of my life.
Oh, that's, I'm glad that you feel like it is kind of like a chapter closing or like a book closing in that way, and that it's been peaceful doing it.
Yeah. It's a healing step, I hope.
Yeah.
And that's Christmas, you know, the holiday season. It's all about hope. What's your flex?
So I'm going to flex. So by the time this comes out, I will be 1 week away from going to, I'm seeing Bruno Mars in Las Vegas on New Year's Eve.
Slay.
Who am I? I don't, I'm not a partier. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very much like a logical, like I don't spend money on things. Like I invest. And now here I am spending way too much money to go see Bruno Mars. So I'm going to actually flex about that because I'm pretty proud of myself for cutting loose. It's a big deal for me.
I am very proud of you. I am very proud of you. I didn't write that something that was fucked up, did you?
I didn't either, because I kind of wanted it to be a really beautiful tie up in a bow sort of day, because maybe we can gush whenever our guest comes on, but let's get to it. What do you think?
Yes, please welcome someone who has been a friend of mine. Can't wait to dive into it. But someone, of course, we know you love, Emmy winning talk show host, actor, documentary filmmaker, author, advocate, and mother. We look up to her. Ricky Lake is on the program today. Welcome, my friend.
Hi, ladies. Great to see you. Great to talk to you today.
Yes. Great to talk to you as well. And we've been really excited about this. When Gabrielle said, like, what about Ricky? And I was like, she changed my life, is literally what I said.
Well, I mean, I've said it publicly. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is my favorite TV show ever. 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 I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of Gabrielle's and her voice and, yeah, everything. So I it's a pleasure.
Thank you for being here. We can kind of dive in because Pallavi was like, wait a minute, how are you guys friends? I was like, funny story. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend connected us. Everyone that sees the episode that Ricky Lake is on in Crazy Ex, everyone's like, oh my God, there's Ricky.
Yeah, I got that job from Twitter. Like, you know, I reached out to Rachel Bloom on Twitter the first season of the show. I discovered it you know, I still, it's still my favorite show of all time. Just the just how creative it is, the songs, the casting, the chemistry, and the fact that it's about something, you know, mental illness. I mean, it's just so brilliant. She's a genius. And so I reached out to her the first season. I mean, it was, it was notoriously the low rated show on CW, but it's, you know, the show that everyone should watch. And so I reached out as a fan, and she's like, would you ever come on? I was like, I'll mop the floor. I'll do whatever you want. And I was so into it. It was the first season. I got to be a dream ghost with Amber Riley. And I got to sing and dance and work with Kat Burns. It was amazing. It was really, really a
fun. That's how we met. You were mopping the floor on set, and I walked by. That's not how we met. You came to one of our live show recordings, and we met backstage. Absolutely.
I feel like I met you on set as well. So I may be wrong about that. But yes, I definitely, and I started coming to your like rap parties. I had no business being there, but I was literally like a groupie. And I don't get that excited about things very often, like I don't get starstruck or anything, but something about that show and all of you guys, it's magic.
I love that you love the show just as much as I did as well, and lifelong friends. That was one of my first chapter of connections with people in Los Angeles was Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and you were a part of that too.
I also love In the Heights too. I love you know, In the Heights, I saw on Broadway when it first opened. And yeah, I saw you, like, I've done a deep dive on you and your singing. So yeah.
I love that you did that. It's all that shameless promoting on YouTube. It finally paid off. Ricky Lake saw my work.
I did. I think you were playing like Feinstein's maybe, or like, I don't know. And you were doing singing that song Breathe from In the Heights, and you killed it.
Killed. Slayed. Thank you, Alex Lacamoire, for actually teaching me that I could sing that high. I had no idea.
No.
Until that happened. But we met backstage, on stage, and we said the let's hang out thing, because we really hit it off, and we did at rap parties, but I have your number, and I feel like, whenever we text each other, it's like little, like, really nice chapter texts, like, hey, I heard this happen. Hey, congratulations on having a baby. Hey, congratulations on your marriage. And I feel like that kind of friendship dynamic is also like a special category of friends.
Yeah, no, it warms my heart when I see a text from you, for sure. And yeah, I've seen you, you know, from going like before you had children to getting pregnant. I was so excited for you, and your baby is so adorable. Your posts. Yeah, no, I'm a fan, you know, both personally and, you know, your professional work too.
Well, and speaking of like birthing and stuff, that's how Pallavi connected with you, right, Pallavi?
Yeah, well, I mean, anecdotally, I can say that while she was finishing up Crazy Ex, and, you know, we were all as her friends at that taping as well for the live show, and I was pregnant with my kid at the time, and seeing your documentary is what gave me the courage and the confidence to say, I can totally birth at home, and I did.
Amazing. I've had this long-standing career. I've done a lot of different things. People know me from my show, from this, from that, but, like, people that were impacted by my documentary work and had an empowering, beautiful birth experience because of what they learned from the film is everything for me. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. I remember, I think I even told you, Gabrielle, I was like, oh yeah, I watched Ricky Lake's Business of Being Born. And I was like, I can totally do this. Like, I know what I'm doing. I'm like, you know, and I think it's like, usually whenever we're talking to friends or family or anybody, they, you know, I think you even cover this in the movie, if I remember correctly, it's like, you know, it's usually a doubt based on like a fear of not having the knowledge, right? So it was kind of like, it was nice. It was nice for to have that film to be just, you know, at least just, it was just for me. You know what I mean? It was just for me. And it was for me to have the confidence and to build it up for myself and not worry too much about, you know, opinions versus genuine worry. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The movie is a great tool, and it's like 14 years later. I mean, we're going to be having our 15 year anniversary of the movie next year, and we're planning to do a re-release. We're going to do an updated
version.
Like, we'll do the original film, but we're going to have like an addendum of new facts and figures and people that are doing great things in the birth world. But I think the movie was such a great conversation starter, particularly for people that have a very strong opinion about out of hospital birth. And it just gets people thinking a different way. And I'm so proud of that film.
Yeah. So thank you for making it.
My pleasure, truly. What are friends for?
Exactly. Exactly. This is the whole reason we do the show. Yes. So I guess, you know, one of the things, because we know, obviously you have a longstanding career and, you know, like you said, this is the documentary and the work that you do in the birthing world is a very advocacy-based, activism-based sort of work. And so I guess, you know, our question is, we like to ask origin stories with the guise of friendship, you know? So it's like, do you have people in your life that brought you to that work, or was it something that you found on your own?
Well, Abby Epstein is one of my best friends, and she's my partner in all of the documentary work I do. She's the director, I'm the producer, and we have partnered on many films, including The Business Being Born. We made a film about cannabis called Weed the People. We made a follow-up series called More Business of Being Born, and now we have a new film, The Business of Birth Control, which does for birth control what we did for birth. It's really kind of pulling back the veil and asking these questions, showing the history of hormonal birth control and the pill, and the racist piece, the eugenics piece. I mean, it's all in there. But to answer your question, so Abby and I were friends. We met doing the Vagina Monologues. No pun intended.
Of course.
She
of
was
course.
My director.
Why didn't I know that?
Isn't that funny? So that's, I mean, it's so ironic. But yeah, she was my
and
director.
And iconic.
I was in the cast.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the show itself is such, I mean, it's every actress has done that show. I'm sure you've done it, right, Gabrielle?
No, not yet.
No?
But I love it.
Oh,
I'm obsessed.
Boy. It's a great piece. Steve Ensler wrote it, and it stands the test of time. But that's how we met. And I had my very different birth experiences. My first son in a hospital setting in New York City, my second son in my bathtub at home. And I really, it was post 9/11, and I really wanted to do a project to explore that world of birth. Like, I didn't understand why my friends, my colleagues, and people that I really respected didn't seem to care about the process of giving birth. They really just, at that time, they cared about having a healthy baby and a healthy mom. And of course, that's what we want. But if you can be empowered in the process of giving birth, if you can tap into that inner primal goddess power, you know, all the better. I think that impacts you as a mom, it impacts you as a woman. And so that was the initial starting point. And so Abby came on board and as my director, and it turned into a 3.5 year making of that film. And now it's just been like the seminal film for anyone who's pregnant, which is amazing.
It really, really is. And everybody, yeah. I mean, my advice, you know, tagging on to what you're saying is, watch something that you don't think is you too, or you don't think is your story, that you don't know, that it's like the more you know, and that documentary that you did and everything that you're doing now with birth control, we're just thank you for your advocacy on that and body image. And another thing we want to tap into is, you know, your transparency with your own personal story of hair loss and the beautiful way that you just put your heart out there. I just want to first thank you for that, because I think we've tapped maybe once or twice on text about that. But I guess the question about that we want to tap in was, when it comes to like relationships, when you went public, was the friendship dynamic changed? Did other people reach out? Did it change? Did you not hear from people? Like, how'd that go?
When I shaved my head, yeah, I mean, people. So first of all, like when I decided to do that, like I had been really struggling for a long period of time, mostly in silence. Like I didn't tell, my friends didn't really know, my therapist didn't know. And when I finally made the decision to do it, and I did it, you know, it was looking at the calendar, and this was at the end of 2019. So this is before COVID. This is the very, very end. It was December of 2019 when I made the decision to do this. And I looked at, you know, we're coming up on a new decade. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it on New Year's Eve day. And I invited like my closest friends. I think I had 4 friends with me, like literally holding my hand. One hand, you know, I'm holding my friend John's hand, and the other, I'm taking the buzzer and I'm just like doing it. And it was really, I couldn't have done it without my friends, honestly. I felt like I needed that like inner like support no matter what, you know, and they love you unconditionally. And it was truly like, I've done some brave, badass things, I think, in my life. This was by far the scariest thing. I was so afraid that people would make fun of me. Like, I, you know, because here I'm in this like this conundrum where I'm a public figure. I'm someone who's been transparent and an open book my entire career. How can I not come and be honest about what I'm going through? You know, if I just shaved my head and didn't say anything about it, people would have thought I had cancer. People would have thought I had a mental breakdown. You know, they would have come to their own kind of narrative of what was going on. And so it was super raw and super authentic. And what I didn't really kind of take into consideration. I didn't expect to spark a nerve like I did, you know? Mm-hmm. I really didn't think through that, like, oh, no woman has ever really come forward talking about this. And so the ripple effect, I mean, I did like one appearance on Good Morning America with Robin Roberts and one Instagram post. That was it. And it got like 6 billion impressions. Like everyone kind of had something to say about it. And I'm so glad I did it. I'm so glad I'm at peace with my hair. Mm. You know, I don't color my hair anymore. I don't have a hat on, but you know, my hair, it grew back. I use this really amazing product that I've never endorsed a product in my entire career. And they came to me and asked me to be a spokesperson. So I share what has been working for me. It's this thing called Carclinican. It's like a topical that I put on my head at night and a shampoo and conditioner, and that's it. And then I also don't stress about my hair anymore. Oh, I don't color it. I don't put extensions in. I mean, like all of the above has helped me to kind of come to a place where I actually have healthy hair and I have a healthy relationship with it, you know? Hi, I'm Ricky Lake, and you are listening to What Are Friends For?
You sort of touched on this earlier with the birth piece, too, how there's like so many there's so many elements that has gone into what we think our hair should look like, or the influences of what we feel like hair represents for us. Like it's such a part of our identity. There's race aspects to it. Like I can relate to that part of it where, like, you know, I just thought having hair, and I also went through postpartum hair loss, so like, you know, I feel you on this. It's like, you know, how do you explain to your friends that, like, the reason I'm cutting my hair off is so that I can look like the way that I feel like, you know, like me, rather than like, you know, needing to keep this hair or having to put on a show with my hair, you know what I mean? Like it's a mask we wear, isn't it?
I mean, it's just, we're just tied to it. And it's just, I and women who have not struggled in this area can't relate. They don't understand what it's like. But for anyone who has, like, sees the pile of hair in the shower, or I mean, I was so sensitive to it. I could feel a hair falling out of my head onto my shoulder. Like I became super neurotic about it. And I, you know, it was like this vicious cycle. And I honestly have been set free. Like, it's not something I think about anymore. Will I ever have like the thick head of hair or curly hair? Like, I'll never have what I've always wanted, but I have something I can appreciate. And I've come to a place of really appreciating the color of my hair. I know we're not supposed to look our age, but I'm saying, why not? Like, I'm embracing, I'm 54. I have lived these 54 years. I feel like I'm pretty well preserved, and you know,
you look good.
I look all right. I'm happy. Like, this, you guys, gorgeous. Is what happy looks like. I'm the happiest I've ever been in my entire life. I've come a long way. I've been through a lot. I have been through hell and back, losing my last partner, and dealing with my loved one being bipolar, and he ultimately took his life. And it was like the darkest of days that I never thought I'd bounce back from. I never thought I'd find joy again. And to look where I am now, 5 years later, and I'm in this new marriage, and I'm just living my best life. And it's a miracle. It feels like a miracle.
It's a miracle to, like, to learn from. It's a privilege to learn from you too, and to hear from you, and to be able to use our
platform.
I'm
just sharing my life. Like, never been comfortable being a role model for people. Like, I've never been like I haven't figured it out, but I'm a work in progress. So I'm getting better as I get older.
But I mean, like, thank you for using our platform as well and coming on the show, because other people can hear your story. So we thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Yeah. And the other thing that, you know, we can get excited about is you've also been doing a great podcast called Raised by Ricky, with a friend, I'm guessing, Kaylin Allen.
He wasn't my friend, but now he just left my house. He just was here today. That's which is why we had to juggle the times, because I messed up. I don't have an assistant. I do it all myself. And he just came over. Kaylin Allen is amazing. Yeah, he's become like a good friend.
He's so good.
He's so special and talented, and he's a superstar. And I want to manage his career because I can just see him. Like, he is going to be, he's amazing. So yeah, he's become a really good friend. And we really are enjoying kind of looking at my old talk show from the lens with someone who didn't grow up with the show, you know, looking at it with a different set of eyes, kind of really reflecting on the culture and the history and 90s nostalgia, And looking at what we did back then, what we said, how we dressed. I mean, all of it is really kind of cathartic and fun to do.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to hear. And you're riffing back and forth, but also the riffing back and forth with your high profile friends that are iconic also in the, in the television world, like, and the talk show. Yeah, then and now, like as different with like Sally, Jesse, Raphael, and Andy Cohen, like, woo, very different. How candid and scripted are those episodes?
Oh no, they're just conversations. I mean, I talked to Rosie, who's actually my real friend for 30 years. Rosie was on, and I think, if you listen to the Rosie episode, you hear her in a way that people really haven't heard her before. So, and Andy too is like a longtime friend. I've known him for 26 years. Before he was on television, before Bravo existed, and Sally Jesse was really great to talk to. And yeah, we were just having great people come on and talk about their experience and their relationship to my old show. Because many of them were impacted in a way where they, grew up in a small town and saw themselves represented on TV that they hadn't seen before, and how that affected them, how that helped them in coming out of the closet, or, all the stories are different, but it's really, it's something I never really paid attention to, that my show was really like impactful to so many during that time. To me, it was like my day job, but it was really, it was a big deal to a lot of people, and it's really fun to look back on.
Yeah. I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but like, can you recall any, friendship centric, interviews or episodes that you had on the Ricky Lake show that you might have touched on the pod?
I mean, we our show was always for a younger perspective. So it was always the young person, and anything having to do with a relationship that interested them, we covered. So sure, we did Friends, backstabbing, and Friends that whatever. But one thing that comes to mind, when I was pregnant with my first son, this is 26 years ago, they did a baby shower. They did a surprise baby shower for me on my show. So I was very rarely in the dark about anything, but in this case, I wasn't even hosting the show. Joan London hosted it for me. And we had like people come out like to congratulate me. I was big and pregnant with my son. And Mary Lou Retton came on, and then like a bunch of like people, famous people, but they weren't my actual friends. And then John Waters, who's my actual friend, and my friend Trisha Fisher came out. And it was one of those things, like my reaction to Trisha was like, oh, great. You come to my fake baby shower, but you don't come to my real one. That's what I said to her. it was a moment.
Like with mics on and everything, cameras on. You're
on TV,
okay.
I was like, oh, great. You come to the one that's televised, but not the one that's like actually at my house,
Yes. It was on Ricky's you're show, like, or it didn't happen.
Right? Exactly.
Full hair and makeup team. I am there.
Exactly. It was very funny. It just slipped out.
So I love that. So let's close with like a question that we don't want to miss the opportunity to ask, because we are also a relationship centric show, and you and the chapters of your life and the changes and the developments and everything that you've gone through with, what the lessons that you learned, is there anything specifically about friendship that you've learned in your life?
God, I mean, I'm a really loyal friend. I've definitely had friendships come and go. There's like a reason and a season. What do they say? What do they think that phrase? But I cherish my friends. Like I'm not someone that has a close family. I now do because of my husband. He has a huge family. So I feel like I've inherited this giant family, but I come from like an estranged kind of situation so I've chosen my family by choosing my friends to be family. Like I'm hosting my first Thanksgiving here. We're having like 25 people, and it's mostly friends, and my husband's family and my children are going to be here. But friendship is everything to me. Like I have friends I have had for over 30 years, and it's invaluable to me and my development and my happiness. And so my home that I've like built, painstakingly built over 7.5 years, my favorite time is when I have all my friends over. We love to entertain. It's very casual here, but we like when I'm surrounded by the people that know me the best and love me unconditionally, it's the best.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, I think we're going to go into our final segment.
Lightning Wall.
First question. Do you believe that friendship is romantic?
It can be. If you have, friends with benefits, I've definitely done that in the past. You know, I'm married to my best friend, and we are very romantic and very much in love. So yes, the answer is yes.
What is your favorite on-screen friendship?
Well, come on, we're talking about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, so I'm going to have to say, no offense, Gabrielle, but Paula and Rachel, or Rebecca. The two of them are like Lucy and Ethel.
No offense taken. They have a perfect friendship dynamic.
I'd have to say them.
Awesome. In one word or hyphen it, what kind of friend are you?
I'm a damn good friend. I'm super loyal. I'm not the best at keeping a secret. Like I'm not good at that. I we all have our strengths, right? But I'm solid.
It's so funny because like my secrets are just like, if somebody tells me a secret, I'm just like, I'm going to text Gabrielle. That's what I say. Like, it's like, I want to tell Gabrielle.
I know. I'm just, my problem is that I can't remember that it was a secret, you know? So if I blow it, it's because I forgot that I was told in confidence, you know? So I'm not the best with that, but I am. I'll show up. I'll have someone's back. If I care about them, I'll show up for them no matter what.
Yeah. And next question is, what would you like to do better as a friend?
Gosh. I mean, I guess make more time for my friends, you know, because I'm newly married. I'm very much a homebody these days. As you know, COVID kind of got us in, I become a little bit of a recluse. So I don't like to leave my house. Like I literally don't like to leave. I live in Malibu overlooking the ocean. I don't like to leave. So I kind of make my friends come here. And I think maybe there needs to be a little bit, I don't know. I need to balance it out a little bit maybe.
And finally, Ricky, what are friends for?
Oh my gosh, friends are just, I mean, I can't imagine going through my life without having my posse, my people, my tribe with me. You know, I've had so many crazy experiences, so many places I've gone, whether it's Burning Man or Ibiza, or I bring my friends with me so they can experience it with me. So it's family to me. Having friends is family.
Oh, and your friendship stands the test of time, Ricky. You really do. So thank you.
I'm a good friend to have. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on our show.
Yes, thank you so much for being here. All that you inspire. I hope that we can continue to reap the benefits of your work and your wisdom. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, ladies.
Bye. Bye.
1, 2, 3, 4.
This episode was produced by Team Access Productions and Fast Nickel Inc. and presented by Hoo Ha Ha. Our co-producer is Anna Daneker.
Our consulting producers are Kathleen Cho, Rose Harwood, and Philip Pisanchin.
Head of production is Emily Albright. Digital content director is Susie Cabello. Our digital production assistant is Daniela Heredia Vega.
Our podcast artwork is created by Arshwarya Sukesh. Original music is by Joey Sherman, and special thanks to Hari Savitala and Sara Khan.
Don't forget to check out the Hoo Ha Ha website to listen to WAF and all things women-led comedy. And as always, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening now. This helps our show's visibility and helps us keep making it for you.
And find us on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and even Twitter at WAF Podcast. That's WAFF Podcast. To find links to our exclusive vodcasts, live shows, shop merch, or even text us, visit WAFpodcast.com.
We truly appreciate you all checking in with us online. But you know that friend that you've been like, I really haven't checked in with them in a while? Go do that.
Yeah, go do that now.